Hi, I'm Chris Attigan. I'm the host of the VA Form 21 podcast. Today, we are going to talk about VA Form 21-4138. I want to make the case to you, the attorney or VSO representing veterans, why you should no longer use the VA Form 21-4138. But let's get a little business out of the way first. The VA Form 21 podcast is a production of the law firm of Attig Steele. Attig Steele provides caring, effective, and efficient representation to veterans battling the VA for benefits in the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims and the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. You can learn about me, the law firm of Attig Steele, on our website at attigsteele.com. The VA Form 21 podcast is going to provide several different types of episodes. In some episodes, I'm going to share a precedential decision of a court or oral arguments from a particular case at the Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims or the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit. I'll share an overview or my synopsis of the case and prepare you for any oral arguments that you're about to hear. In other episodes, I'm going to share with you practical advocacy skills to help you become a better advocate for your veteran clients. And in a third type of episode, I'm going to talk to you about the business of veterans law. Listen, if your law firm business isn't profitable, you cannot continue to help veterans. I've learned some very, very hard lessons about how to make a small or solo law firm profitable in the veterans law practice area, and I'd like to share what I've learned with you. If you have suggestions about what topics you would like to hear on this podcast, please feel free to shoot me an email at vetlaw@attigsteele.com. If you're getting value from this podcast, or if you just want to show support for its continued availability, please click the links in the show notes and become a sponsor of the VA Form 21 podcast over at patreon.com/VAForm21. As a rookie sponsor, I'll give you a sponsors-only episode of the podcast, and I'll start sending you copies of forms and templates that I use every day in my veterans law practice. Listen, becoming a sponsor is completely optional. I'll still love you, and I'll still share all this wonderful information with you if you don't become a sponsor. But becoming a sponsor, well, it just makes you feel good about yourself. So why not do it, right? All right, on to the discussion. In a recent court appeal, the VA was relying on the unsigned and unsworn statement of a random government bureaucrat. This bureaucrat was testifying to the lack of existence of any evidence that my client was exposed to the herbicide Agent Orange. His statement provided no legal foundation, no identification of who he was, the source of his knowledge, the basis for his expertise, the methodology used, or the reasoning he used to get to his opinion. The memo was, in the end, a self-serving memorandum used by a government agency that has often allowed the phrase non-adversarial to come to mean lack of any legal structure. For too long, we advocates have been complicit in this practice. We've come to rely on the informality of the VA claims process and failed to insist on proving our clients' cases to their optimum using basic and sound evidentiary principles. A perfect example of this is VA Form 21-4138, what I call the most worthless VA form in the VA's entire catalog. On another blog, unrelated to this one, I write to educate pro se veterans on basic principles of law that they can use to improve their ability to file VA claims and appeals. And I've gone on record on that blog saying that the VA Form 21-4138 is legally worthless, and I stand by that assessment. The other day, an attorney of substantial experience before the VA challenged me to provide legal support for my belief that the VA Form 21-4138 is legally worthless. The answer to her question could benefit the whole community of veterans advocates, attorneys, and VSOs by helping us to make tighter and more solid evidentiary proofs for our clients. So let me walk you through my answer. Let's start here. What is the VA Form 21-4138 and how has it been used? So the VA Form 21-4138 is known as the, quote, Statement in Support of Claim, close quote. It is, for all practical purposes, the VA form for a blank piece of paper. For years, pro se veterans and VSOs have used this form for every purpose imaginable in a claim or appeal. It's not uncommon to see 50 or more copies of the VA Form 21-4138 in a veteran's C file. It's been used to file informal claims and claims for increases. It's been used for status requests or to tell the VA you want to add dependents. It's been used to submit notices of disagreement and substantive appeals. It's been used to attempt to trigger the VA's duty to assist. Worst of all, perhaps it's been used for buddy statements. In VA practice jargon, a buddy statement is the words of another layperson who can corroborate some testimony from the veteran or the claimant. The name itself comes from suggestions that the veteran get a statement from their military buddies as to an event that happened in service. So why do I think that the VA Form 21-4138 is legally worthless? If you take a look at a copy of that form, you'll see above the signature line the following phrase, quote, "I certify that the statements on this form are true and correct to the best of my knowledge and belief," close quote. Attorneys that still rely on the rules of evidence in their daily practice, as well as attorneys just out of law school, know the danger of this phrase. It is, in my opinion, a legally worthless phrase. A federal district court judge once told me that if a witness wants to really harm his credibility, he should use these 8 words, "to the best of my knowledge and belief." The words are pithy, self-serving, and most judges, trial and appellate, recognize them for the puffery that they are, meant only to bolster that which is outside the witness's direct knowledge. Now, that's not just one judge's opinion, or frankly, it's not even my opinion alone. In fact, the American Bar Association and attorneys with a federal practice typically look to the ABA as a broad starting point for guidance on general legal and ethical matters, has published an entire article that discusses the meaning of best of my knowledge and belief in a variety of contexts. A link to that article appears in the show notes. The ABA observes that most reported cases about the meaning of best knowledge have reached the conclusion and holding that if a person uses the term best knowledge in an affidavit, application, or representation, the term embodies a level of uncertainty. The ABA cites a litany of cases in a litany of contexts in which the phrase has been interpreted to represent not certainty or reliability, which is what we want in our VA claims and appeals, but in fact has been interpreted to represent uncertainty. This should be eye-opening for the attorney or VSO that uses a government form submitted as the veteran's, quote, best knowledge. The preponderance of the case law on the phrase supports an interpretation that an attorney is submitting evidence that embodies a certain level of uncertainty in the witness's own words. With this background, let's start from the beginning so that you can understand why veterans' lawyers and VSOs should stop using VA Form 21-4138 for evidentiary submissions. Let's start with this principle. Competent and reliable evidence almost always requires personal knowledge. In fact, the foundation of all reliable evidence is personal knowledge. If you know a fact personally, you're competent to testify to that fact. If you don't know something, you're not competent to testify to that fact. Competency and its partner, credibility, are the foundations of all evidence in a BVA appeal. If a BVA judge finds your evidence to lack competence, that's the end of the line, folks. It's going to be afforded no weight in the BVA's decision, and the CAVC, the Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims, will invariably affirm the board's competence determination. Take the case of Devane Otterson. He's a veteran who submitted various statements from friends and family members stating that the veteran had been suffering from back problems since the 1960s after leaving military service. Now, I don't know if the statements he submitted were submitted on VA Form 21-4138, but the appellant's brief identifies those statements on documents known as Statements in Support in the Table of Record Citations of the brief. The BVA rejected these buddy statements submitted by the veteran because the witness lacked personal knowledge. They did not know the veteran at the time that he claimed he had back problems, and I provide a link to the BVA decision where you can see that. At its core, this is a huge problem. The witnesses lacked personal knowledge and therefore lacked competence to testify beyond their personal knowledge. Judge Bartley at the Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims latched onto that point in the court's decision reviewing the board's rejection of the competency of the evidence, writing words that should send chills through the spine of any attorney who has relied on a VA Form 21-4138 to introduce witness testimony in a BVA appeal. I'm going to read you a direct quote, and this comes from the case Otterson v. McDonald, 2016 U.S. App Vet Claims Lexus 62, a January 21, 2016 single-judge memorandum decision. Judge Bartley for the court writes, "Because competence involves personal knowledge of a fact and the expertise necessary to testify to that fact, the lack of either would diminish the probative value of the buddy statements as outlined by the board. Thus, the BVA did not err in discounting the probative value of the buddy statements in those regards." Ouch. There goes the case. So stop reading. Stop listening. If you happen to listen to this on a podcast, open up your notebook of important ideas and write this on the next blank page. Witness testimony in a VA claim or BVA appeal lacks competence unless the witness testifies that he or she has personal knowledge of the facts that he or she is testifying to. This is critical. To explain how it can hurt a veteran's appeal, we're going to look back almost 20 years ago into CAVC history, and we're going to talk about the Brokaw case. That's spelled B-R-O-K-A-W. In that appeal, the veteran's attorney was trying to include a VA Form 9 in the record that the VA claimed to have never received. The attorney included a statement that he prepared and hand-delivered the VA Form 9, stating he did so, quote, to the best of his information and belief. A 3-judge panel of the Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims rejected his testimony. The panel made clear, citing Federal Circuit, Ninth Federal Circuit, and D.C. Circuit case law, that the phrase, to the best of my knowledge and belief, or information and belief, signifies indirect knowledge and is insufficient to create the personal knowledge essential to competent evidence. Now, I will also tell you it didn't help that the attorney's argument contradicted his own statement. The cite for that case, by the way, is Brokaw v. West, 13 Vet App, 134, 1999. And when I say that the attorney's argument contradicted his own statement, he actually included in there a statement that said it is true that a VA Form 9 was not filed. So here you've got a declaration or an affidavit saying that something happened to the best of his knowledge, and then a statement that it was not filed. So there's a credibility issue. But the Brokaw court specifically talked about the phrase best of my knowledge or belief in the context of personal knowledge. And as a result, the CAVC panel did not allow the VA Form 9 into the record. If the attorney truly prepared and hand-delivered a VA Form 9 to a VA regional office, then he should have testified to that fact from his personal knowledge. Remember that the phrase, to the best of my knowledge, in the body of law governing BVA appeals, at best, signifies indirect knowledge, and indirect knowledge is rarely competent evidence of facts requiring personal knowledge. Given that, it's clear that the danger in using a VA form that presents evidence with only the statement to the best of my knowledge and belief. Now, the next question that follows from that, am I committing malpractice if I use VA form 21-4138? And I can't say that that's the case. I can't say VSOs and attorneys who use this form commit malpractice. VA form 21-4138 is so widely used that it is probably a common industry practice at this point in time. And so measuring attorneys by that standard of care suggests that they are not being negligent and represent their clients by using VA Form 21-4138. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't represent clients just well enough to avoid committing malpractice. I represent my clients in the hopes that I can prove and win their appeals using the power and skill of my advocacy. So what should attorneys use instead of VA Form 21-4138? I can tell you what my firm does. My firm uses a sworn declaration to submit most written lay testimony. The first statements in our version of the sworn declaration include the statement that testimony is proffered not only under penalty of perjury, but also from the personal knowledge of the witness. Proffering a statement under penalty of perjury is very important. It adds reliability to the evidence for both the attorney representing the veteran and for the BVA. We don't stop there, though. We lay the evidentiary predicate or foundation for the specific testimony we are propounding. Now, I'll pause for a minute here and tell you that Patreon supporters or sponsors of the VA Form 21 blog and podcast will get free access to the Word template of our sworn declaration, among other forms. And in the show notes, you can get a link where you can click to become a Patreon supporter of the VA Form 21 blog and podcast. Some attorneys and VSOs have suggested that our firm is a little too formal. They remind us, it's a non-adversarial system, Chris. Stop making it so hard. The belief, I suppose, is that formality, veracity, and reliability in evidence is adversarial and somehow difficult. First of all, our clients pay us a lot of money to handle their cases correctly. I don't care if it's hard or easy. I'm going to do the best work I can. Second, my personal belief is that veterans who serve to defend, among other things, the adversarial search for the truth that is the hallmark of the American justice system, are entitled to an adversarial search for the truth in their VA claims. The VA and veterans' representatives, though, have very different concepts of what a non-adversarial process is. The VA tends to think it's whatever makes their job easier. VSOs and attorneys representing veterans tend to believe that a non-adversarial process is just a less formal and more relaxed system. Assuming that the non-adversarial system is constitutional, neither side of this debate is correct. An adversarial system is one where two opposing parties to a dispute present their differing positions to an impartial finder of fact who attempts to sort out the truth of the matter. A non-adversarial system, then, is one where both parties work together to present the same position to an impartial finder of fact who attempts to verify the truth of the matter. But here's what's truly critical. When your client's case goes to the Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims or the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit, evidence submitted at the non-adversarial administrative stage of the appeal will need to survive judicial scrutiny at the undisputedly adversarial court stages of the appeal. So when it comes to evidence at the BVA, a non-adversarial process is not licensed to produce less formal, precise, and reliable evidence. It does not mean that evidentiary foundations or the standards that are used to establish the veracity, reliability, and competence of evidence have been relaxed or are less formal just because the process is itself less adversarial. In fact, over the past decade or so, there has been a trend in the BVA and the Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims to look to the federal rules to determine whether evidence is competent, probative, or reliable. Here's just a few of the rules that have shown up in veterans court decisions over the past decade. Federal Rule of Evidence 201B, Federal Rule of Evidence 401, 501, 608A, 609A1, 8037, 80310, 80318, 804B3. This trend is not just happening at the Veterans Court. A recent BVA decision that I looked at determined that the concepts underlying Federal Rule of Evidence 8034 controlled the omission of extrinsic evidence to impeach a witness's credibility by contradiction. 8034, by the way, is the hearsay exception for statements made for medical diagnosis or treatment. Basically, the board used an extrinsic, meaning outside the witness's testimony, medical statement to find that the witness's own testimony lacked credibility. That's a challenging impeachment, and it's surprising to see Federal Rule of Evidence 8034 in a BVA decision, but not too surprising, given what I've shared with you a moment ago. Let's recap. Number one, the phrase best of my knowledge and belief is the foundation for VA Form 21-4138. Number two, the phrase best of my knowledge and belief connotes uncertainty, not personal knowledge. Number three, under the rules of the BVA system and the federal rules of evidence, evidence that does not come from personal knowledge is not competent or probative. Number four, the BVA and CAVC are increasingly looking to the underpinnings of the federal rules of evidence and, in fact, the rules themselves to assign weight to evidence and to review the BVA's weighing of the evidence in its decision. Add those factors up, and what you get is this conclusion. The VA Form 21-4138 connotes uncertainty in testimony, not reliable personal knowledge in testimony. The form does not lay a proper evidentiary foundation for competent and probative evidence, and the BVA and CAVC are increasingly rejecting evidence that is not competent or probative. So in your client's claims and appeals before the BVA, I want to offer two recommendations. Please stop using VA Form 21-4138 to submit evidence. And two, use formal affidavits and sworn declarations to establish under penalty of perjury the proper foundation for any witness's testimony. In fact, when you take over a new case, go through the C-file and determine what testimony the veteran or any other witness has offered in a VA Form 21-4138. Consider putting that testimony into an affidavit under penalty of perjury and providing the proper evidentiary foundation for what you're trying to establish to that witness, and then resubmit it to the VA or BVA. By doing so, you make it much harder for the BVA to find that that testimony is not competent or probative, and you also increase the certainty and reliability of your own witness's testimony. When reliable and certain evidence is offered against vague and unreliable VA letter statements, like the one I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, your witness's testimony may prove more reliable and may ultimately carry the day for your client. At least that's been my experience. And in the end, isn't that what we as attorneys are trying to do? Hop on over to the atticsteel.com website. Take a look at the VA Form 21 blog. And at the end of this show notes, you will see a pro tip about how you can use this process of converting 21-4138s to formal affidavits in a unique way in your claims and appeals. So hop on over to the website, check it out. I've enjoyed visiting with you on this podcast. If you have any questions about anything you heard, shoot me an email at vetlaw@atticsteel.com. And I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the VA Form 21 podcast.